From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. A federal judge has ordered the state's largest public employee union to deliver refunds to as many as 28,000 non-union state workers who weren't given a chance to challenge a dues hike used to fight the governor's ballot campaign 3 years ago. The Sacramento Bee reports the Service Employees International Union Local 1000 has to issue refunds with interest to any non-members who retroactively object to the special assessment. Mexicans who get deported from the United States through Tijuana will get some extra help under a program launched yesterday. Humane Repatriation, as it's called, offers deportees food, shelter, and assistance finding their families in Mexico. From KPBS in San Diego, Amy Isaacson reports.
The United States deported more than 230,000 people last year. The majority are Mexican. U.S. officials drop them at the border. Many cross into Mexico with only the clothes they're wearing. Some don't speak Spanish because they crossed to the United States when they were so young. Until now, deportees have largely been left to fend for themselves with the help of a handful of nonprofit organizations. At the press conference to announce the new Humane Repatriation Program at the San Diego-Tijuana border crossing, Baja California Governor Jose Guadalupe Osunumian said the topic of migration is near and dear to him.
He vivido en carne propia. Yo llegué a Baja California en 1972.
Osunumian says he's lived it himself. He and his brothers came north to Tijuana 36 years ago in search of a better future. He says he watched his two brothers cross illegally into the United States while he stayed in Tijuana and worked at a factory. Under the new program, deportees will be put up at a shelter for 15 days. They'll receive food, medical care, and a temporary job if they want it. Immigration officials will also help people contact their families in Mexico and cover the cost of a ticket home. Officials would not say how much the program will cost. The program will be rolled out next in Nogales and then other border cities. For the California Report, I'm Amy Isaacson in San Diego.
A new California law is phasing out a toxic chemical known as perchloroethylene, or PERC. This is forcing the state's dry cleaners to revamp the way they clean clothes. But how do you convince thousands of small business owners, many of them recent immigrants on tight budgets, to switch to a more environmental alternative? Amy Standen reports.
Hello. Hi. Did you come last time too?
It's a Sunday afternoon at Nature's Best Cleaners in Sunnyvale, about 40 miles south of San Francisco. The store is closed, but people keep arriving. They're dry cleaning shop owners here from as far away as Sacramento on what's probably their one day off of the week to learn about the latest in professional cleaning technology.
This is really for you to see this, to ask questions as many.
That's Peter Sinsheimer. He's leading the workshop today.
And we actually have somebody that brought some clothes today.
Sinsheimer is not a dry cleaner. He's a scientist at Occidental College in Los Angeles. But like everyone else in the room, his clothes are immaculate. Sinsheimer needs all the help he can get. He's trying to convince dry cleaners up and down the state to trade in their old machines for a new, greener technology called wet cleaning. Since the 1930s, most dry cleaners have relied on a chemical called perchloroethylene, or PERC, to remove stains. And, says Jesus Valdivia, who works at a cleaner in Redwood City, it works great.
What's the hardest thing to clean?
When it comes to PERC, really nothing. I mean, everything comes out really clean. It takes the grease really well. They say it's bad for the environment, so we have to move on. That's the only thing.
PERC has been linked in studies to bladder, esophageal, and other cancers. It can also harm the central nervous system. Those risks are highest for people who work in or live next to a dry cleaner. The EPA says that people who wear dry cleaned clothes are unlikely to be affected. But, says Cal EPA's Melanie Marty, there's some reason for caution.
When you go and pick up that bag and bring it home, you still have perchloroethylene off-gassing or coming off your clothes. So the concern is, well, we really don't want something in widespread use that's been shown to be a carcinogen.
California is the first state in the nation to begin phasing out perchloroethylene. As of January, dry cleaners can no longer install new PERC machines, and by 2023, all PERC use will be banned. The most affordable, environmentally benign option seems to be wet cleaning, the kind of machine that the dry cleaners are crowded around today.
kind of maintenance does the washing machine need? Is there any filters to clean?
No, nothing.
No filters.
Only once a year.
Wet cleaning machines look a lot like regular front-load washers, but they use only a tiny amount of water and soap, and they have elaborate computers that let you program them for different kinds of fabric. The washer and dryer together cost about $40,000, roughly the cost of a Perk machine. But you also need a tensioning machine that inflates the clothes to prevent shrinkage. California subsidizes about a quarter of the cost, but it's still big money for small businesses.
And they're not going to shrink, right?
No.
How good is it at removing grease stains?
You can't blame them for fearing new technology. For a dry cleaner, reputation is everything. A single ruined suit can knock them out of business. And these aren't chain stores with big corporate offices. In California, most dry cleaning shops are owned by first-generation immigrants, drawn to a line of work where you don't have to speak a lot of English. Take, for example, Lawrence Lim, who emigrated to the States from Korea 22 years ago. Lim put in a few years as a postal worker before opening Fashion Cleaners in Concord. Today, he heads the Korean American Dry Cleaners Association.
We working at least 12 hours a day, especially mom and pop stores, and it's small business is out of business easily. It is our life.
Lim is opposed to the new rules. He says it's unfair that small businesses like his should have to be the pioneers of a new technology.
Customer expecting to do the dry cleaning, that means we have to do dry cleaning. We are the cleaners. We have to follow the manufacturer's instructions. We don't have a choice.
What would help is if clothing manufacturers started replacing those labels, putting professional wet cleaning only on clothes so that customers know what to expect. Peter Sinsheimer is lobbying for that, but he says dry cleaners will have to change first.
Everybody who's switched has had that initial fear. And once you do it, you know, our experience has been that we're batting 1,000 here in terms of the success rate, you know, that people feel really good about the decision they made.
Sinsheimer has his work cut out for him. There are some 5,000 dry cleaners in California. About 100 of them have switched to professional wet cleaning machines so far. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, April 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California, on the web at calhospitalcompare.org. The Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California, and the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn, and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org.